Blog Talk Radio.
Dancing to this song.
That's awesome.
I love this song. I thought it was appropriate since we got off into a whole zombie tangent last night with the guys at Gamer Focus.
We did. That was so much fun last night.
Yeah, it was. Snow's going to cut us because we forgot to tell her.
Whoops. On that, Snow. I know. And I saw her sign into Second Life after that. And I was like, oh.
Oops.
My bad. Well, actually, it wasn't my bad. It was Corey's bad.
Oh,
Corey's
I see. Bad. Throw me under the bus. All right.
Totally. I see that bus coming in. Yeah.
She's gonna push me in front of it. She's gonna push me in front of it. She did it.
Yeah. I love you, Corey.
Sure you do.
I do. You're my favorite Corey.
Mm-hmm. I'm your only Corey. Sorry.
That's true. You're my only okay. You're my only Corey.
Oh, really? Interesting story there that she will be telling me later because y'all know.
Okay, short story really quick. In a virtual world, if you IM somebody and start crap, and especially if it's about me, I'm going to handle it. Bad that I spelled the name wrong and I thought you were somebody else. In the long run, you got what you deserved, but...
Ooh. Hmm. Sounds like there was some...
Some chick IM'd the person that I've been playing with, and it's like, you know, good luck with her, da-da-da-da-da. And I looked at her profile, and I was like, oh, I know, you're a boyfriend. One letter off, wasn't the same guy. I apologized. I was like, oh, my bad. But, in the meantime, she, like, had apparently torn her boyfriend a new one, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, you know, none of this would have happened had you not IM'd and tried to start this. So I don't exactly feel bad, but I do apologize that I got the name wrong.
Mm. Well, you got cut, and that's how it bees sometimes.
I just couldn't believe. I was like, I don't even know you. She's like, well, I've just heard that you're mean. I was like, I am mean to guys who IM me and emote touching my pixels in a game. No.
Hmm.
No. I don't like that.
See, y'all got Ginger all upset at the beginning of the show. Beginning. Uh-huh. And in case you don't know where you are, this is Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Mm-hmm. And I am Corey.
Are you sure?
Yeah, but not the one that you went off on.
not the one that I went off on. Because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Corey.
She loves me, but she'll go off on me, too. That's why we have love you. Well, it's okay if you do. I am fine. Sometimes you are just wrong, and you need to be told you're wrong. And it should be by people that love you, not people that don't like you or love you.
This is true. This is very true.
If you don't like me, don't be talking to me. Oh. Anyway, we got tons of juicy, delicious, delectable news to go along with that sandwich you're eating. Oh, you forgot to bring your lunch? Yeah, this person over here forgot to bring their lunch. Well,
I had rice cakes, apples, and peanut butter.
I had apples and grapes and coffee.
I don't have any grapes. Oh, no coffee. Oh, yeah.
When I have to discuss why you don't like the coffee.
No coffee. It's not good.
You've apparently been hanging around with the wrong people. When you come to visit and I take you around to the various coffee houses so that you can taste the difference between good and bad coffee, then you will be able to tell so-and-so. Your coffee's
actually,
bad.
The other day, last weekend, I went hiking. I say hiking. It's Texas. We went downtown. There are trails, everything where I live. So we did go hiking, but we also went into town. mm-hmm. into the downtown area, and we stopped at a coffee shop. I've never actually been inside one of these little coffee shops before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this has never happened for me, but I've just never been. It was cool. They had, like, live music playing, and they had, like, you know, little areas to play for video games and everything. It was really cool. I liked it.
See, I told you what. We just got to find you a place that makes good coffee. Not everybody can make coffee.
Yeah, because all the coffee that I've always had is, like, gritty and nasty, and it's like, ew.
Oh, that's why you don't like it.
No. I've got a texture thing.
Yeah, and coffee is not supposed to be gritty is the problem.
No, it's not. It's not supposed to be gritty. And that's what I remember from younger when I did try it, is that it was gritty. And I was like, ew.
Oh, see, that is another time that you need my grandma. She's the one who, she has one of those old school, and I'm talking, when I say old school guys, I mean the 1950s percolators, and it still works.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes, like, the best coffee, better than any Starbucks or anywhere else you'll ever taste in your life. And she puts a little milk in it, and it's the sweet milk, the carnation milk. When I was little, she put a little of that in there and a little bit of the cocoa powder, you know, like your whatever chocolate milk mix. And that is the best thing you have ever tasted in life. It is so smooth and so sweet without the sugar. There's no, she didn't need to add sugar when you put the sweet milk in. Delicious. So we got to find you a place that makes good coffee. Ginger's the problem. You haven't tasted good stuff. And then after you've tasted the good coffee, you'll actually be able to even smell the difference when you walk into a place. Like, I know when I go to McDonald's and I smell that coffee, it's Swill. It is bilge water.
We should totally call Snow.
Is she on? Is she up? Well, no, I know she is.
She is.
I forgot. I know she's up because she's been texting me all morning. It's very odd for her to be up and texting this early. Anyway, we need to get off the coffee tip and get onto some news. You know we can't call Snow. She's not going to
Do you have news this morning?
I got tons of news. You don't have any news? Well, let me tell them about the first thing while Ginger harasses Snow, because I'm pretty sure that's what she's doing. Uh-oh, here it comes. I mentioned a little while ago, right before the show, that there is a rumor that a price drop is coming for the Xbox 360. Uh-huh. Some of you were like, ears perked up. You almost choked on your
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Microsoft is hinting that they're about to make a major move to lower the price of the 360 next week. This is also according to a report from a website called The Verge.
Really? Do you think this is to compete with the Wii U that's coming out in a couple of months?
Oh, of course. Sources have indicated that Microsoft is looking to attract customers to sign up for the Xbox Live Gold for 2 years up front. Company will offer you a 4-gigabyte console with a Kinect sensor, forget this, $99. Uh-huh. But subsidized with a monthly cost of $15 for Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but how does that help us older people? this will be offered at a range of Microsoft stores in the U.S., one of which is here in Houston. If you don't know, there's a Microsoft store in Houston in the Galleria area. Yes, what we call the swanky area of town. It is dead middle of the Galleria, right between the ice cream. You cannot miss it because the store stays packed 24/7. The 2-year subscription will also reportedly offer some additional streaming content from cable providers or sports package providers. Customers who sign up for the deal will be covered under a 2-year warranty, similar to cell phone plans. There will be an early termination fee for anyone who breaks the contract before the 2 years are up. I don't like this at all. This said the C word. I don't do contracts. Microsoft continues to make moves to position its Xbox 360 hardware as a total entertainment Xbox, and it seems clear that the company is looking to put more pressure not only on Nintendo's Wii U, as Ginger said, but Sony's PS3 and the Roku box and Apple TV and others. This sort of strategy lends more credence to those in the industry who've said that the consoles will be commoditized. I don't know if I like that either. It's all about services now, and the box is merely a means to an end. If this rumor proves true, it is easy to see how Microsoft could offer its next-gen console and lower price to Xbox Live members who commit to the service for 2 years or more. And, of course, coming up June 4th is when we may get some more news about that during E3. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I do not like contracts. Especially when they're making you pay monthly. Can I pay up front and say I'm done? Because I do that 2 years where I can say, I'm just going to give you the money now. And in 2 years, just contact me and say your contract's expiring. I prefer more than doing it every month. Things happen to people, you know. Know what I mean, Ginger?
Yeah, yeah. And I know you absolutely 100% hate contracts.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have one with my cell phone. And we are very happy, Virgin Mobile and I, although I'm a little irritated about the whole Google Framework incident where I lost all my phone numbers. Y'all may lose me to Boost Mobile, but I will still be on Droid.
All right. I'm trying to see which one of these I want to grab first this morning. It's, you know, 10 minutes in. I'm just going to grab one and go. All right, so the New Yorker says PS3 jailbreaker George Hotz, Geo Hotz, if y'all remember, Fox Anonymous, and meeting with Sony. A new profile of George Geo Hotz, the guy who jailbroke the iPhone and then the PlayStation 3, went live today in the New Yorker magazine. The profile of the hacker that Sony sued for jailbreaking their console reveals two interesting things you may not have already known. Hotz's reaction to the news that Anonymous would retaliate against Sony for suing Hotz. His reaction to the news was one of deep concern that Sony would think he had something to do with whatever the hacktivist group had planned. Well, of course, you're going to worry about that. Sony has much bigger lawyers than you'd ever be able to afford, Mr. Geo Hotz. Back in his parents' house, in front of the glowing computer screens in his cluttered bedroom, Hotz clicked with mounting apprehension to the news of Anonymous's plans. I hope to God Sony doesn't think this is me, he remembers thinking. He didn't believe in secret online warfare, much less in defecating on someone's doorstep.
Oh.
I'm the complete opposite of Anonymous, he told me. I'm George Hotz. Everything I do is above board. Everything I do is legit.
Somebody has an ego thing going on.
Yeah, just a little bit. And another part of the profile, it is revealed that Hotz was invited to meet with Sony engineers to discuss security issues months after his months after his PlayStation 3 jailbreak. He says, if there were going to be lawyers there, I was going to be the biggest asshole ever. I'm sorry, I'm just quoting.
Yes, that's why I bleeped it out yesterday when I read that quote.
My bad. Instead, he encountered a group of engineers that he described as respectful, who were interested in his programming talents and how he used them to bypass the console's security. All right, so you want to read that? It's over on the NewYorker.com website, so go check that out. Geo Hotz, you lived in your parents' house. You pretty much lived in their basement. You hacked the PS3 and the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't imagine why Sony would be upset, why Apple would be upset. yeah. You know, I'm not the same thing as Anonymous. No, because you're not a hacker at all, are you?
Well, he's not. Well, I don't know. I don't know what he does. I'm not even going to try to defend him.
Well, now he works for Facebook, doesn't he?
There was rumors that he does. Oh, speaking of Facebook, that's the other bit of news we got.
Yes.
Thank you for the segue. So we want to congratulate Dave over at Gamer Focus. Yeah, we told you we were going to do this morning. Who is now a Facebook employee. That's right. he says he's very excited. He loves the job. He also wanted to stress to us that he is not in the coding department, not stressing about coding. He is in the marketing and building of ad campaigns, which is going to be really interesting. We will probably have to have him on to pick his brain about how that is working with Google. If he can talk about it, Facebook may like cut him and us and all kinds of stuff. So we have to be very careful what we ask. But congratulations, Dave. We're very, very proud of you. And can you fix that problem I've been having with the feed? You know, it's kind of – never mind. Okay, anyway, on to my actual other story. And Ginger, if you are talking, you are so muted. Okay.
No, I'm not muted. Like I said, I was deleting files from where I formatted my drive. And, like, I keep getting, like, 100 pop-ups. I was like, stop that.
Yell at it. Talk
crazy. Sorry. I know.
All right. So Apple, apparently, I don't know how this is going to look to investors, but one of Apple's senior vice presidents for the iOS system, Scott Forstall, he took advantage of Apple's stock price last Friday, and he sold 64,151 shares of his stock in Apple. That amounts to about $38.7 million. Ouch. Wow.
That's Wow.
And he's not bad looking, ladies. I don't know if he's married, but you know what to do. The stock sale relief forestall of around 95% of his Apple holdings. Fortune's Philip Elmer DeWitt reports that this leaves him with 2,988 shares worth, which is about $1.8 million as of Friday. Now, while it may look like Forestall is planning his escape from Apple, the sale seems to be more of a well-timed move to make the most of his Apple stock. And his Apple stock portfolio won't be empty for long, as Forestall has over 350,000 restricted stock units that will vest over the next 4 years, as long as he stays with Apple, that is. So Elmer DeWitt points out that the stock Forestall sold on Friday came from a 120,000 share retention bonus issued back in 2008, but was only vested last month. All of this on top of Forestall's $700,000 annual salary. Given that he's responsible for Apple.
Wow, I want that salary.
Right? Given that he's responsible for Apple's iOS business, which counted for $29 billion of the company's $39 billion last quarter, we would imagine, our venture beat is saying they would also imagine that Apple will do whatever it takes to keep him around. At this point, forget the fact that he may be planning an escape. This news, unfortunately, is not going to make it outside of our community. So a lot of the investors are not going to see this and know, or even, you know, have the other side that it's just, you know, he's just selling it because this was when it was the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And it may look like something's going on. I'm willing to bet their stock is going to drop today.
Very well could, yeah.
And that's not good. Do I own stock in Apple?
You know, I have my whole stock thing. I never pay attention. I think I'm putting money into Apple.
I know all the big game companies I got. And I got Starbucks because Starbucks is a good thing to have. People love them some coffee, even if you don't drink it, Ginger. Starbucks is a good place to own stock. But I don't know if Apple's on that list. I know EA, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, I have those for sure. But the rest, I don't know. Maybe I need to grab up me some Apple.
Probably should. Okay, and I'm going to lose my voice.
Don't do that.
Swear, I don't know what's going on, but something smells like it's been burning around here, and it's just killing me.
Mm-mm.
All right, so infamous file sharing site tells users to circumvent the block. Oh, yeah, Pirate Bay defies high court ruling. I am pulling this from gamesindustry.biz. Torrent site, the Pirate Bay has responded angrily to a decision by British High Court forcing ISPs to block it and has advised users to simply work around the problem. No one from
Didn't I say that yesterday?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No one from TPB was invited to the court case, which would be normal to do in a democracy. This is not the first time this has happened. It's been the same in most countries we're censored in. We have no right to speak since we are not rich. The site offers access to a huge amount of content from music and films to video games. They blame the record companies that requested the block and argued against claims that the site infringed copyright. It also encouraged UK users to use VPN services or TOR as a way to access the site. Don't forget that we can't allow this stuff to happen. Next time, they're coming for something else. And yes, there will be a next time if we don't stop them, the site declares. Write to your ISP and tell them to appeal the case. Write to your local instance and tell them this is not allowed. Make sure your voice is heard. Remember, we're all the Pirate Bay and must stand united against the censorship of our opponents.
Wow.
I don't know what to say. On one hand, I get it. Y'all are stealing content and y'all are giving it away.
No, Ginger. We were that. They are not stealing anything. It's the same thing as with Mega Upload. It's being uploaded to their service.
Yes. On the other hand, you music and video companies, movie companies, this is just outrageous, the prices y'all are charging for this stuff.
Well, I don't...
I mean, how we are paying actors and people who play sports millions and billions of dollars, and we can't even pay our own military members anywhere near that.
Our people that actually mean something, our military, our doctors, lawyers make a lot of money anyway, don't, and our teachers, you know what, teachers should be treated like sports stars, I think.
Yes, teachers really
get the worst, and if it wasn't for them, you would not have any of these actors, so on and so forth. If you couldn't read, how would you read your script? I'm just saying. Teachers need a lot more recognition than they get. I'm shocked at the fact that they didn't invite them to court. And I know if this was in the U.S., it would be a major countersuit. You didn't even invite us to speak. That is violation of your freedom of speech, I'm thinking, in a way. Depends on how a lawyer would word that. So, and I wish we could help them, but they're in the U.K. The only thing I can say is, you, us American gamers, you need to get behind our U.K. Not just gamers, but any of you techie people need to get behind Pirate Bay. It's the same thing as Mega Upload, honest to goodness. You may not think so, but it's the same thing. It's a service. A lot of people use Pirate Bay for that reason. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of pirated stuff on there. I'm saying that you have no right to come and talk. You're taking away people's right to, if you want to do something stupid, it's your right.
Yeah.
Just like I have never agreed with the law here that says we're going to legally make you wear seatbelts. If you don't want to wear a seatbelt and you want to fly through the windshield, that is your right to do so.
That is your right to be as stupid as you want to be.
The stupid jerk and fly through the windshield and into people's cars and crack their windshield. That is your right. You all, the government is too involved in what should be personal. What I need you to do is fix a pothole down the street from my house. That's what you do. Don't be telling me if I need to wear my seatbelt or what I can't look at on my internet. Stop coming from internet and all that kind of stuff. So you
stop trying to look at my midget porn.
Mind your business.
My midget porn. Yes.
Mind your business. Jay says to you, Ginger, if you smell the fire, that means that's closer than you think. You know, I don't deal in fire.
It's just one of those things I live in. Is that season? It's starting to get hot. Burning stuff, start winning these fires. They're going to get out of hand because people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I smelled fire Saturday, and I went outside, like, doing checking the perimeter, going, make sure nothing's on fire. Because this is the time when we get the wildfires, in case y'all didn't know.
Yes.
And they will break.
I live in the boonies, and that is a constant fear of mine.
Oh, man. The Mexico fires that years ago, we were all kinds of panicked, and luckily it didn't make it up to Texas, but there was panic. The skies were black for 3 months. People were depressed and drinking. I'm not even joking when I say that. Imagine it being dark for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but right before I moved up to where I'm at right now, I was volunteering at the Red Cross, and we had a whole bunch of fires. So I guess that was 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago now. It was right after Katrina. And yeah, I was all over the place helping volunteer with Red Cross for the fires. It was just awful. I mean, especially because a lot of this is farm and ranch land.
Yes.
There were fields of dead cattle that were like where they'd run into barbed wire fence and couldn't get loose,
no way,
and they burned to death. It was horrible.
You have to see. I hear about, you know, the fires, but I'm in an area where it generally doesn't happen. I think we hit something on fire down the street the other day, which I freaked out and started calling 911 driving up and down the street. But I had never actually seen the devastation of a fire when it comes through the forest until I went to Renaissance Festival a few months ago. And all of the areas around the Renaissance Festival had been, you know, they had a wildfire come through. And to see it, then you get it. We need somebody to go take pictures of it. I never see anything like that on the internet. But to see it is a whole different thing. Then I was like, oh, my God. This is awful. And there were no dead animals for me to even see. But just imagining all the little creatures and stuff that were in there, it was horrible. Anyway, we got to get off this stuff. he's leaving. He's got work to finish. Get
a
gone.
What?
You don't ditch us for work.
No. He said I had some work to finish. No, he's back.
He didn't say he left. Cutting will fall. Okay. So,
I know, right?
There is a new
is
gadget. No, it's my gadget. It's my go.
Okay.
There be a gadget that I have been waiting for this to come out. Again, I am not. I cannot build anything technical because of the electrical thing I have going. But I've been waiting for this to come. This is a new gadget called the Pebble Smartwatch. And it has been a runaway success story for a Kickstarter's crowdfunding model, but they've gotten almost $8 million pledged for the project so far. Now a popular app called Runkeeper, which is used for tracking your fitness, is joining in on the fun as Pebble's first app partner at launch. Pebble integrates with your smartphone via Bluetooth, and then it uses its e-ink display to show information like incoming call data, calendar entries, media updates. And this is a little watch that straps to your arm. Remember you used to watch Star Trek all those years ago or Star Wars or whoever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shows, and they always had the watch and they would absolute no. They talk into it. This is where this is headed. Okay, so after years of failed attempts at truly a useful smartwatch, Pebble looks like they have struck gold with consumers. It's elegant. I like it. I would wear this. Jason Jacobs, the CEO of Roomkeeper, wrote on their company blog today that we know that many of you are always looking for ways to make your fitness tracking easier, and with Pebble integration, you won't ever have to pull the phone out of your pocket or armband. You can just see and do everything you need right on your watch. It's more than as one of more than 53,000 people that are backing Pebble. VentureBeat saying they're glad to see that the company is already building up its app ecosystem. Runkeeper has already proven itself as one of the most useful exercising apps on the market, so it seems like it's a perfect fit for Pebble. Notably, Pebble was initially rejected by venture capital when it went insane, but now with its massive Kickstarter success, the company is able to turn its dream into a reality without giving up any of its equity. Pebble still has 2 weeks left in the Kickstarter pledge round, which means the company could see close to $10 million in pre-sales at the start of this current rate. The smartwatches are scheduled to ship sometime this September. Congratulations. I want this. there's some concerns, of course. People are asking about battery drain and things like that, but it's a little early for that. We need to wait, I guess, until they've actually secured their funding, and then you can go harass them to know how much it's going to drain on your phone and so on and so forth. I do wish that it didn't need the phone at all. I think I think this little gadget should be a standalone thing. I don't know how they would do it again, where it would work with your phone, but you didn't need to have your phone with you. Maybe you can log into your phone from it, leave your phone at home and go run or in the car to charge or something like that. But I like it. You can go around the internet. You can probably find it. Let me see what their Kickstarter page is. Well, go over to Run. I keep saying Rune. It's runkeeper.com, and you can see a picture of it. Really cool. It's not bulky. It is very elegant, and you don't have to do anything except for just look at it. Everything is lit up, and you can see the time, and I love it. Can you make it in purple? Is what I'm asking.
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting.
Colors would be awesome. I'd need a pink, a purple, a red, and a black.
Ooh, yes, 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 yes.
And I need to be able to change the bands out. See, you guys are making this for guy. It still looks manly. I need a girly one. I need like a chain band, and I need one that's made out of ribbon, you know, stretchy ribbon. Because I would wear it all the time. Forget just working out. I need it on all the time. This needs to match my clothes. You see how I'm working with this?
Oh, right. Totally got
it. It's just like, stop it.
Yeah. Don't drink blood. Don't drink the blood.
It is good.
No. Don't drink what I drink. All right. So, how Halo 4 could impact the presidential election.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. It just popped up on GamePolitics.com. Microsoft decided to pick November 6, 2012 as the release date for Halo 4. Did they take into account that the date is actually pretty darn important to the future direction of the U.S. for the next 4 years? Probably not. In fact, a thought probably never crossed their minds. But by choosing that date, they have given gamers in the 18 to 34 age group an excuse to be more apathetic about voting than usual. Yeah. All right. So apparently, the has a video out about it. They explore the possibilities and make some interesting points about how huge entertainment releases such as Halo can have unintended consequences on other things going on in the world. Some might argue that young voters will likely skip their civic duties in November anyway, and that they are a demographic that most politicians would politely say are unreliable. The writer says, I want to believe that in the age of CISPA, NDAA, SOPA, PIPA, and ACTA, and other legislation, that the youth votes will decide that it is more important to stand in line to vote than it is to stand in line to be the first to get Halo 4, or at the very least, stand in both lines, we'll see. That is a very, ooh, I like that idea. See, you put voter stance inside GameStops.
You go get there
the
you
game,
go.
You go get in line to vote. There, you go get in line to vote, then you can go get your game.
Or better yet, if you go and you
Corey,
vote.
Quiet. All right, so I'm not quite sure what's going on, so I'm going to go ahead and grab another one.
Hello.
Maybe that, or maybe that's why I'm not hearing her. I'm disconnected.
Ginger.
Anyways, let me try this one.
Okay, Ginger, we lost Ginger. Amazing. Okay, so she can't hear me. I can hear her. Fantastic. All right. I'm hoping you guys can hear us. If you can hear us, go ahead and shoot us a tweet. All right, so I was so not ready. I was actually trying to talk with her. All right, so Motorola apparently, that's not the one I had for you guys. We'll go ahead and do it anyway. Motorola has won its German sales injunction against Microsoft's Xbox 360. According to Gamma Sutra, as part of Motorola's mobility lawsuit against Microsoft over alleged patent infringements, a German court has granted Motorola an injunction against the distribution of various Microsoft products in Germany. The ban includes the Xbox 360, Windows 7, Internet Explorer, and Windows Media Player, reports to BBC. Motorola alleges that Microsoft is infringing on its video coding and playback patents. Motorola must now wait until next week when a U.S. court will deliberate over whether the action should be enforced. Okay, so, of course, a U.S. judge ruled last week that Microsoft has infringed on a number of Motorola's mobility patents with its Xbox 360 console, and a full commission board will now review the decision and issue a final ruling in August. So that's going to be interesting to see how that affects the future. It affects the future of Xbox. Thanks, guys. I think Ginger had some issues. I could hear her, but you guys apparently couldn't. So I was talking to her, and she couldn't hear me. She'll get back in here in a second, we hope. And she's going to cuss. So y'all be ready. Cover your ears and put the speaker put the speakers down low, because when she comes back, she's going to be an angry girl. All right. Verb Online has sent us over some lovely information. If you're interested in the live music arcade, well, you said, what is that? Well, it's coming to the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live Arcade May 16th. The kickoff date for your own music tour has just been announced with Zavix, a DART developer leveraging innovative technology through peripherals, real musical instruments, and entertaining software, and in association with Reverb Publishing, announced today that its upcoming music creation sandbox game, Jam Live Music Arcade, is set to launch on both Xbox Live and on PlayStation Network on the week of May 16th. Jam Live Music Arcade was recently featured at South by Southwest in Austin, if you got to go out and check that out. And it's fresh from the PAX East show in Boston as well, where it would be jam masters from around the world that got to remix some of their favorite hits on the fly. You can check those out on YouTube if you're interested. Jam Live Music Arcade is a completely new approach to the music genre, and with a real-time live music sandbox jam mode that allows players to immediately build and customize their very own tunes, as well as bonus arcade challenge mode that lets players play similar to traditional music games, starting with any of the 30-plus licensed songs featured in the game, including hits from Modest Mouse, Fallout Boy, That Boy Slim, Owl City, Rise Against, and Atmosphere, and more. Players jam and remix all aspects of the song, guitar, bass, drums, synth, and vocals to experiment with the song and recreate it to their own personality. All this is done with any one of the numerous compatible guitar gaming peripherals. The entire band is in your hands. Accessible and easy to get started, yet deep and almost endless to master, everyone can touch real music across a broad range of sonic tastes. Jam Live Arcade offers an immersive level of music interaction that they're saying is inspiring, powerful, and contagious. I do not like this already. Hi, Ginger. Ginger, you're muted. Ginger? She is not talking. Ginger, we can't hear you, baby. There she goes. Come on. Tap, 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 tap. Tap it again. Oh, poor baby. Our Ginger's having some issues this morning. Just keep trying. We can hear you doing something, but we can't hear your voice. All right. So anyway, I do not like this little Jam Live Music Arcade. Ginger, either? Thought I heard her breathe. Okay. I don't like this because this is not actual... this is not actual music creation. Music creation would be that they had all the instruments, your real ones you could record, and then remix things as you see fit. This is just taking a bunch of music and remixing it. This is why you have shows like The Voice that came out, because they want real singers, not just people that are manufactured and look cute and pretty, whatever. So I am not that fond of this. I may enjoy playing with it for a while, but I'll get bored. Anybody who's a real, really, really loves music is going to get bored. Okay, and Poor Ginger. She's still not sure what happened. Poor baby. Okay, let's continue. We got some other new apps that are out on the market. Those of you who like Tribal Wars will be happy to know its Android app was released for public testing. Yes, we said testing. InnoGames, one of the most popular browser titles that they have, Tribal Wars launched today as a beta version app in the Android market. The Adobe Air-based app is free and includes nearly all of the functionality of the game. The beta version of the app is connected to accounts on beta.tribalwars.net only. The commercial launch of the app coming soon. Fully functional will be included in the sleek, intuitive design, plus the opportunity to play on normal Tribal Wars accounts. The iOS version of the game was launched late last year, placing in many iTunes top 10 lists. I got some interesting things going on. With further native features and even more app-optimized screens, Tribal Wars Android apps expected to reach similar success. The app is only available on devices that run Android 2.2 or higher and a processor requirement of at least ARM v7. Tribal Wars is also now available on the Google Chrome App Store. Tribal Wars places a player as a leader of a small village striving for power and glory. In order to build a strong empire and conquer other villages, one must unite with powerful allies and found a mighty tribe. Its vast game worlds and varied tactical opportunities make Tribal Wars one of the most popular browser-based games in the world, with 44 million registered users playing it in over 30 languages. With more than 75 million registered players, InnoGames is the world's leading developer and provider of online games, and they are, of course, based out of Hamburg, Germany, and has scored many other successes with games such as The West and Grapolis. Anybody out there played Grapolis? I played The West. It was interesting. I don't say it would keep my attention. Oh, poor Ginger. And she tries again. She tried again.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. And people, this is why we're live.
Mm-hmm. So that was annoying.
I was like, Ginger, I was trying to comment on your story about putting the voting booths in the GameStop. I was like, I love that idea. You were like, Curry's not talking. I say hello. So I'm looking down. I keep pushing my button. I'm like, Ginger, can you hear me? Hello.
It was Skype. Skype just totally locked up on me. It was,
It means we have another update coming. Fun.
Yes, yes. And by update, they mean they're going to break something that was already working just fine.
Stop it, Microsoft.
Yes, yes. All right, so my turn?
It's been your turn. You owe me 6 stories. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no! All right. There is some new research out today. Shooters make you better aim in real life.
I do believe that. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Brad J. Bushman, professor of communication and psychology at Ohio State University, often conducts studies that almost always lead to the same conclusions, that video games are nothing but a bad influence on anyone that uses them. His past studies that draw the conclusion that video games do more harm than good are listed on his webpage. So his latest research comes as no great surprise, and is coincidentally timed with Anders Breivik's trial going on in Oslo, Norway. Breivik claims that he trained to kill people by playing Call of Duty. Most people would tell you that it's impossible to do that, but a new study released this week by Bushman claims that 20 minutes of playing a shooter using gun attachments improves accuracy when using a real gun. According to the study, players who used a controller like a pistol in a shooting game with human targets had 99% more headshots than mannequin targets using a real gun than those who played other video games. They also reportedly had 33% more shots hit the mannequin in various body parts. The study also concluded that those who regularly play violent shooting games were more accurate than others when shooting at the mannequin and got more headshots. Didn't y'all already just say that? Seriously. All right, anyways, Bushman co-authored the research with Jody Whitaker, a graduate student in communication at Ohio State. The study used 151 college students who filled out questionnaires to measure their aggression levels and their attitudes toward guns, gauge their knowledge of firearms, and if they had any formal training with them and their favorite video games, and how often they played them. The group spent 20 minutes playing a violent video game with realistic human targets that rewarded players for making headshots, Resident Evil 4, a non-violent shooting game with bullet targets, We Play, or a non-violent, non-shooting game, Super Mario Galaxy. All three titles are Wii games, in case you didn't come to that conclusion sooner. The writer says, I played Gumshoe until my fingers and hands were numb, but my NES light gun training did nothing for my accuracy. Go figure. Resident Evil 4 for Wii didn't turn me into Dirty Harry either.
No, I don't think it works like that.
No. I think it gives you a basic knowledge of how to aim, but still, you're not going to know how to load the gun, how to clean the gun, how to do anything if the gun jams, any of this fun stuff.
We also forget the whole recoil issue because...
Yes, yeah. Recoil, the weight, and especially because in a lot of video games, it actually compensates for your breathing. If you're actually shooting a real gun and you're breathing... Your aim is going to go all over the place.
Yep. And me with the recoil, I almost always have to, like, duck from my own arm because it'll recoil back in right before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not fun either.
No, not so much. Not really, no.
No, it's not fun at all. It hurt. I didn't actually hit myself. It was a little tap. I caught the gun before it actually hit me, like, the third time. I was like, I think I'm done with this.
Well, that's good because you don't want to hit yourself.
Ooh. And then end up firing the gun again by accident, and then again because you're falling and you're grabbing for stuff. See, it could just go all kinds of wrong. And that's what they don't take into account, people who keep doing these studies. You all keep making it seem like it's as simple as I'm going to sit down and play Call of Duty and I'm going to become this super, super best shot. There's other factors involved in shooting. As any soldier will tell you, it's different than playing the game. It's fun to play the game. And as Ginger said, you get a general knowledge of how to aim, but you can't just, you're not going to become a crack shot.
Exactly.
Imagine the recoil a shotgun has. And what I have is a 9mm. I couldn't, a shotgun recoil would probably knock me down.
You understand
how to stand. But I'm saying, according to them, I should be able to pick it up and immediately I'm the best
shot on
the planet.
No.
Obviously, practice would make me better. You know, I'd be able to withstand the recoil. But now you put it in my hand, I may have general knowledge, again, how to aim at somebody, but I'm not going to be, again, I can't load it. I don't know how heavy it is. You know, how am I going to have to hold it? You can't learn that from a game at present.
No, you can't. People think you can, but no, you really, really can't. Even play in America's Army. You're not going to exactly learn how to take these guns apart and put them back together.
No.
At least I don't think. I know they put in training.
There is a iOS app that, yes, will show you the pieces. Again, you still would have to – it's not going to be the same as the real gun. It's not as – you know, you can't click and drag the pieces over and then they automatically line up. So it's not the same. Any more than you can learn how to steal a car from playing GTA. I could not tell you how absurd I thought that was when they were trying to make that argument. Teaching kids how to steal cars. Really, because I know when I go up to a car and hit the window with my elbow, it automatically breaks, and then just stand there and move my thumbs back and forth, and that's how I get it to start up.
Yeah.
No, that is not how it's done. I know. Well, I don't know how it is done, but I know that's not right.
Yeah. Hey, Horace, kind of off topic here. You mentioned that Corey is crackling. Is she still crackling? Because she keeps cutting in and out for me. Just curious if y'all are hearing that on your end. I really need to go back and listen to one of these shows. I think I'll do that in a little bit.
Yeah, because I know when we were talking last night, Snow said she could hear me fine, and you were crackling. We got some weirdness going on with BT. Who knows? We're gonna have
It's so weird because you're like, bop, 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 bop. That's what I'm hearing.
Really?
Weird. Yeah.
We'll have to talk to the, you know, and we didn't hear any of that with the Gamer Focus guy.
No, I was hearing that last night with Gamer Focus, too.
You were hearing, but were they able to hear me? It's a question. We got to go listen to some shows. Do some research.
Yeah.
All right. Is it my turn? Is it my turn?
Yeah, it'd be your turn.
If you can hear me, Ginger.
Yeah.
All right. So Gamma Sutra is reporting this morning that if you want to avoid costly breach, what you need to do is get rid of your old data. In a new feature, attorneys S. Gregory Boyd and Gary Keeble outline one easy way to reduce your company's liability in the event of a PlayStation Network-style breach. Delete the data that you don't need anymore. They said, think about what data the company can do without. A company cannot lose data it doesn't have. You reevaluate the company's policies and consider not storing and collecting data in each instance. Only collect the data really needed, and that means data tied directly to your business goals. He says it sounds a bit funny, but it's true. Consider that data loss was not a substantial problem in the 1990s because companies did not have data to lose. So how do you get around having too much data hanging around? You match the data to the goals of your business. Collectively, said we need a better reason than marketing purposes to collect data. This is a 21st century problem across many technically sophisticated businesses. Substituting data collection and analysis for good judgment. Data could only be collected if it is part of a focused, clear strategy for adding value to the game company, and preferably that collection should improve the entertainment products and experiences offered to the consumers. Stated another way, data should only be collected if it's going to be used, and the benefits of using it outweigh the cost of collecting, safely storing, and disposing of the data. By getting rid of data on old games and old demographic information that's already been analyzed and more, you can substantially lower your risk, since each compromised account can cost several dollars to several hundred dollars per affected record. This is according to the attorneys in their recent event of a breach. The full feature, which outlines six more important steps to protecting yourself from security failure resulting in loss of user data, is up on Gamma Sutra. If you are at a large company and you have been preaching the same thing to your company, go over and print it out for them. Take it into your boss and say, look, we need to get rid of this stuff. Or another alternative is there's a company here in Houston. I cannot think of their name, but they are a storage company. So they store everything from your furniture, and they also do digital storage, meaning if you bring in hard drives, they have a locker. The place is temperature control, so of course your digital data needs to stay cold so that it doesn't ruin the data. They have protection against flooding because it's a big issue here in Houston. I cannot remember their names right now, but you can also do that. Why don't you back the data up and just take it off of the server, put it somewhere else, and that way it's out of reach of anybody hacking your network, but you still have it if you're a digital hoarder like I myself am. But I tend to do the same thing. I'll pull the stuff off the computer and then put it on a CD-ROM or a drive that's not even connected to anything and then put it away in the closet where it's cold and nice and dark and, you know, no problems will occur. So I completely agree with that. You don't need it. Get rid of it. Stop keeping it on your hard drive. And again, you get a whole lot of space. Hotness. Ginger has no idea what I'm saying. Am I breaking up bad for you again?
You are breaking up so bad. I'm sorry. I'm trying to listen, and it's just like, what? But word, space, word, blank.
Oh. Well, Joe says
like, you say, like, oh, and all I hear is, oh. It's so weird.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell y'all.
I don't know. All right, Don't Clock, the Toasted Sandwich of Time, now available via the PlayStation Network. Adventure puzzle game brings cookie creative contraptions to Europe and the USA. Stickman Studios, which has made several hilarious games, today announced that its popular title Doc Clock the Toasted Sandwich of Time is now available on the PlayStation 3 platform in the USA. Players can now jump into Doc Clock's first incredible adventure, also available on the PlayStation Network through Sony of Europe, navigate Doc Clock and his sarcastic robot Sack on their journey through time in a bid to save Doc's beloved cat Franklin from a prickly fate. Test your mental skills by designing ingenious inventions to overcome improbable obstacles, then push your piloting abilities to the limit as you attempt to steer your crazy contraptions through an insane world of spiky pits, icy chasms, and erupting volcanoes, all dominated by technophobic hippie robots. Doc Clock, the Toasted Sandwich of Time, features infinite possibilities. Invents almost anything you can imagine from the objects you discover, such as spring-powered vehicles, catapults, and incredible flying machines. Sarcastic humor. Enjoy wisecracks from Sack as he berates Doc Clock through the adventure. Instant gratification. Immediately undo your calamitous mistake with
there
Doc Clock's amazing time slider. I figured I'd get it out eventually. Fourth try. Prove your awesomeness. Win trophies by unlocking achievements such as Headhunter and Rocket Man. New features introduced to the PlayStation Network are PlayStation Move motion controller support, sandbox level, Doc's playground for tinkering and building with loads of objects, and new in-game abilities such as building while seated. All right, so if you want to check this out, I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Please head over there and check it out. I think I also have a YouTube trailer up for you. So go see it.
YouTube.
GameMatrix.com. Go see
YouTube. Okay, am I still breaking up?
A little bit, but not as much. At least not right now.
At least not right now?
No.
Are you sure you can hear me?
Oh, no. I don't know what's going on. And look, Horace never answered us. Neither did Jay.
That's because they suck.
I know. We asked for the help, and they're like silent. Silent.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, let me try to get this out real quick.
But see, you know, it's weird. I don't think I notice it when we're not on air.
So it could be BT or on Skype, and they're working together. Okay.
We're not so much working together.
Yeah. All right, so slash dot. Can you still hear me? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so slash
I can
dot.
Hear you.
Slash dot, who VentureBeat is calling the original gangsters of web-based news for nerds, has just launched another website called Slash BI. The BI stands for Business Intelligent, and this news, while still somewhat nerdy, will appeal to the enterprising types more than the us people. they're calling them neckbeard types. I like that, neckbeard. It's a new audience for Slashdot, one with ample money from corporate officers, from corporate coffers that needs to be spent on IT projects. Mere weeks ago, Slashdot also launched its YouTube for Nerds-themed video site, Slashdot TV. The video site features the kind of typical Linux security science fair one would typically expect from a Slashdot-branded web property. Slash BI, on the other hand, is a different sort of animal. Nick Kalikowski, who's the senior editor at Slashdot parent company GeekNet, told VentureBeat, says, "We're going to publish every business day with a mixture of news and analysis from journalists, business leaders, and..." Yeah, you already said that. Analysts, et cetera. He says Slash BI is a complementary destination to Slashdot, designed to not intrude on the latter. The news site allows us to give our audience something extra, namely tons of news and analysis on everything BI related, without infringing on the news for nerds aspect that made Slashdot so popular in the first place. Slash BI so far brings a smattering of news about big data, open source in the enterprise, cloud technologies, and storage for systems at scale. I like it.
You'll like it. She likes it.
I like it. It's kind of hot as they split it up. And was I still breaking up through all that?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to have to say something so I don't just keep talking.
Well, it's like every other word. I don't.
Well, Horace says,
it's only half the word.
Well, Horace says he can hear us, but we need to fire the sound guy. And Jay said the same thing.
If that's the deal, it's not that I can't hear you, it's just that you sound weird and then you keep breaking up. So weird. All right, so Korea game market most advanced in the world. DSC Intelligence forecasts Korean game market to reach $5 billion by 2016. Korea is an example of what happens when you give consumers access to games online. The rest of the world is just starting to catch up to Korea. No kidding, I was discussing this with another gamer last night. Korea, no joke when it comes to games. According to new research from DSC Intelligence, South Korea is the most advanced market in the world for online games. With the fastest broadband speeds and over 80% household broadband penetration, Korea continues to pioneer the business model for online games. DSC forecasts that the market for Korean games will grow at a CAGR of 9.7% from $2.7 billion in 2011 to nearly $5 billion by 2016. Most all of this revenue will come from consumers paying for online usage and buying virtual content. In-Sun Yoon says it is often thought that most games in Korea are played at internet cafes or PC bangs. While that is an important part of the market, most Korean publishers generate over 85% of revenue from consumers playing in the home. Korea has the highest per capita spending on PC games in the world, and according to Yoon, similar growth is likely to occur in other markets as broadband to the home increases. According to the report, much of Korea's market success can be attributed to nearly optimal infrastructure, including a national ID for authentication, diverse payment methods, low-cost, high-speed broadband that has almost universal penetration, dedicated professional game player leagues, and cable channels dedicated to online games. Nevertheless, the Korean market is not without its challenges. There is a problem with market saturation, and it now takes really innovative products to stand out from the pack, says Ms. Yoon. In addition, games have received somewhat of a negative stigma. For example, in the late 2011, Korean government instituted a shutdown law that banned children from playing games after midnight. Despite the challenges, Korea is seen as a model for how game markets around the globe are likely to emerge as the global technology infrastructure starts to catch up with the infrastructure in Korea. Korea is an example of what happens when you give consumers access to games online, says David Cole, president of DSC Intelligence. The rest of the world is just starting to catch up to Korea. True story, man. A bunch of my friends from Second Life are actually getting into playing Aeon. I was like, oh, hey, I have a tune. I'll go play with you. And, yeah, that was the deal. They get in. They realize that it's a Eastern MMO. It's not a Western MMO. And if you don't know the difference, Eastern MMOs are no joke. They make you work for it. There is not, oh, you know, do this quest, run over here, collect five of these, turn it into these, da, da, da. No, you are going to go kill over here in this camp for hours. And you're going to fight with these people over here because they want the same camp. So, yeah.
Yeah, a little different. No joke. And we are a little slow in understanding how all that works.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's not like WoW where you can macro all of your fights and you hit just one button. No, no, you need to know where you're standing, how your opponent is standing, what you just used, what comes after that move. Oh, I like it, though. I love it.
And Frank and Sam won't let me play anything as of late. Okay.
Aww.
One last one, and then we are going, well, you know, I don't know if we have time. I'm going to try to get it in here. Skullgirls is going to be on PC. I don't know if you all can even hear me, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Skullgirls.
PC gamers, get your fight sticks ready. Autumn Games and Revenge Labs hit indie fighting game Skullgirls will be available for Windows PC leading distribution services later this year following its recent launch on HD home console systems. And they were afraid to send it to us, apparently, after they offered it. Incorporated PC version will have updates to the game, including in-game move list, additional tutorials, retuned single-player AI, enhanced leaderboards, in-game name display for online matches, and additional multiplayer regions. These updates, along with platform-specific fixes, will be made available as free updates for the console versions of the game. Skullgirls, of course, puts players in control of the fierce female warriors in an extraordinary dark deco world. Fighters battle it out for control of a mysterious artifact called the Skull Heart, which has the power to grant the victor wishes. Those judged impure will be transformed into a fearful instrument of their twisted wish, a pale, lovely temptress, a beautiful nightmare, the Skull Girl. The team is led by renowned fighting game champion Mike Z. Zymont and artist Alex O. 088 Pad, whose work has been featured in many publications, including Lava Punch and Girls of Gaming. So you can check that out if you so choose to. And we are going to tell you guys we love you, but we got to go. Bye-bye. You know, we're at GamerGirlsRadio.com all day, every day. Make sure you also check out our little spot over at Gamer Focus. And keep an eye out. We've got some interesting announcements having to do with Able Gamers. If you haven't checked out their update, their new site, go check that out. But keep an eye out. We've got something going on over there with them. We'll talk to you about it probably next Tuesday, did we say?
Yeah, that sounds about good.
Yeah, Tuesday we make the announcement. Be ready.
Yay! Can't wait.
Wonder oh, Woman. Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess. In your shining light, fighting for your right and your red, white, and blue.
Wonder Woman.
again.
Later, boys and girls. Mm.